Hey everybody, welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Jessica Kate.
I'm Hannah Davis, and today, you guys, we have another awesome special guest. We want to thank so much Bethany Turner for coming to join us today.
Hey, I am delighted to be here.
Bethany, just want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. I'm Bethany and I write. That we were joking that that's the bio, but that really does about say it all. No, I'm a writer of Christian rom-com primarily. And my last release was Secret Life of Sarah Hollenbeck. Have some other stuff coming out. Right now I am in my day job office. I'm on staff of a church. And I'm like 6 o'clock. I'm still at my day job, but so I am in administration here at the church. I am happily married for, hold on, got to do math, 17 years. Yes. And have two boys, 15 and 12. And that's pretty much me, but I'm Bethany and I write is much easier. So we should have just stopped there, but
that's totally fine. So like many of our special guests, I met Bethany at the ACFW conference in September, and she just was like the sweetest person I've ever met. So we're so excited to have you join today.
Thank you. I remember very distinctly conversations with both of you and where I was standing or sitting in our case. And you both are lovely and I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
We are so happy to have you. Christian rom-com, such a good genre to be in, which leads us to today's topic of favorite rom-com movies. So tell us yours, Bethany.
Okay, there's such a long list, but if I have to pick one for all time, it is You've Got Mail. You've Got Mail is to me the perfect rom-com. It's everything a rom-com should be and more. It's smarter than your average rom-com. It's more mature than your average rom-com. It's funnier than your average rom-com. It doesn't go for the cheap, easy laughs. It's intellectual, but it's also ridiculous. And there's things like, I want to make my apartment smell mossy, you know, so there's just weird things. But if forced to pick one, which is a very hard thing to do, but You've Got Mail all day, every day.
And Tom Hanks. How can you go wrong?
Tom Hanks in his prime. I mean, Joe Fox is Tom Hanks at his best. And I think Kathleen Kelly is Meg Ryan at her best. So, and Greg Kinnear, it's like, if the guy you don't get is Greg Kinnear,
then it's a great movie. You have the best movie right there.
I'm like, if he's the second best choice, you're not good. So, You've Got Mail. Yeah.
The only thing I would argue on is that it's Tom Hanks in his prime, because I would still argue that Tom Hanks is still in his prime. Just maybe not in rom-com movies.
Okay. But more romantic.
I mean, the guy's come out with like how many movies since then, and they've all been astronomically amazing. Yeah. Sully came out, what, 2-3 years ago? And so great.
Such a good movie. Yeah, I haven't seen a Tom Hanks movie I don't like since probably mid-80s. I mean, you know, like The Burbs I could do without, Turner and Hooch, you know. But whatever, that's just me. But pretty much Sleepless in... No, Big. Big on.
Yes.
And he's like, he's the thinking woman's dream man.
I think so, too.
Because he's smart and he loves typewriters.
Yes. Yes, he does.
So it's like, what is not to love about a smart man who loves typewriters, who has really nice hair?
Also very true.
That's sorry, I'm totally going into Joe Fox mode now, because I'm like, he has really good hair and You've Got Mail. He has really nice clothes and You've Got Mail. I love characters where his character has money. When Tom Hanks's character has money because he looks good in good clothes. He's a good actor, even when his character doesn't have money. But man, when he can dress in designer suits.
Very, very good.
Yeah, sorry. I got really sidetracked on my Joe Fox love. But
that's
okay.
We all love you. You've Got Mail. Bethany, other than the reasons why we love Tom Hanks and Joe Fox, what is it about You've Got Mail that you could just talk about forever?
It has so many quotable lines. And some of them are so silly and funny, like, he ran Spain. And I don't know if people are listening, watching, who have not seen You've Got Mail, they're like, those are just random words that mean nothing to me. But it'll all shake out. Meanwhile, I'm putting up more twinkle lights. It's like, I feel like there's really great lines. But then at the same time, it's like there's some depth. Like Kathleen Kelly's line, all this nothing has meant so much more to me than so many somethings.
Oh, I love that line.
That's a good line. Yeah. That is a good line. And that whole section of when she's on the subway and the butterfly gets on and then gets off at Bloomingdale's.
To buy a hat.
You know, to buy a hat. And we'll realize, like all of us do, that hat is a mistake, you know. So it's like, it's so smart. It's so Nora Ephron. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Nora Ephron's writing. I've never read her books, to be honest, so I can't say I love all her writing. I don't know. But her movie writing, I mean, she just can write a rom-com, could write a rom-com like no one else. And yeah, it has everything. I feel like You've Got Mail is, like I said, the perfect rom-com because it literally has everything you want in a good rom-com. Mm-hmm. Anything you can name about any other great rom-com that's really great, You've Got Mail's got it. So, and I would defend that all day.
I think one of my absolute favorite lines from You've Got Mail, we could talk about quotable lines all day, but the quotable, like, meaningful lines for me, the one where her business has folded and Tom comes in and he says, it wasn't personal. She's like, what is that? It's not personal. She's like, whatever it is should begin by being personal. And you're like, oh, yes, thank you.
I'm literally tearing up. I love this movie so much. Yes, that's such a good line. It's, and my absolute, here's another one of my favorites. When he brings her the daisies, which of course daisies are the friendliest flower, mm-hmm. as we all know. And there's that little moment when she says, daisies are my favorite. And he says, you told me. And there's no attention to it. She doesn't catch it. I think probably half the viewers don't catch it. Mm-hmm. And it could have so easily been, oh, you know, Kathleen Kelly told Joe Fox, but no, Shop Girl told NY152. And it's like so subtle. And I think that is it's brilliant writing. I mean, it's just so much woven throughout that's hilarious, but also so deep. And mm-hmm. I wonder if any college would like hire me to teach a class. Because I'm preparing my thesis right now. Actually, can I tell you something?
Yes, please do.
At ACFW, and I, by the time all of this is out and about, this will be announced, but the ACFW auction this year, there is an auction that involves You've Got Mail, and so people need to watch for it.
Oh my gosh.
We're having a You've Got Mail rom-com slumber party in my room, and
if
out for bid, it'll be the most fun thing ever. Anyway, okay, that's a little side
plug. Yes!
This is our plan right now. Jess, you're flying to Australia and we are winning this bid. Forget everyone else. Y'all are not gonna make it. We are getting this bid.
It starts at like $10 or something ridiculous. I'm like, I would pay $10 a day to watch You've Got Mail every day. I don't have a problem with that. So I'm a Yay. Little obsessed, but I believe it is brilliant and perfect. That's all there is to it.
I would agree.
Well, you've convinced me. I haven't seen it for years, but now I'm thinking that I'm going to spend my Sunday morning watching it.
I'm about to be like to all of your listeners on Story Nerds. I'm about to be like, okay, guys, it's done. Stop. We got to go watch You've Got Mail with Jess.
Cut. At this point out, if you haven't seen You've Got Mail, we give you permission to stop the podcast and go watch it now. Yes.
Come back later. It'll all make more sense.
Have a blessing.
Yeah, because it's not acceptable to not have seen that movie in my mind. Yeah.
Anyway. Now it's obvious why you're such a good rom-com writer, because you have like such good analysis of what makes a fantastic rom-com.
It's a sickness, really. I don't Because, you know, this is the top of the tier, but I could do the same thing with Sleepless in Seattle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I could do the same thing with 2 Weeks Notice with Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock.
Oh, I love that one.
Good.
I think it's a little underappreciated, but I think it's right up there. Yeah, there are just a few that if I think rom-com, I don't know. There hasn't been good rom-com in a while.
Thank you. It's so true. I so agree that the classic rom-com genre of like those late 80s through 90s, early 2000s was just like the prime of rom-com. And there hasn't been anything really that great since. Not comparatively.
Yeah, little things here and there that are pretty entertaining or whatever. But it's like, I mean, we had Tom and we had Meg.
Yeah.
I could stop there. I mean, and it's like they're both, obviously, we've talked about our Tom Hanks love. And he's won his Oscars for, you know, Philadelphia and Forrest Gump. And these amazing, more dramatic portrayals, although Forrest Gump is also hilarious in its seriousness. But you know, it's like amazing dramatic actor. Meg Ryan really was starting to show us a little more of how deep she could go on some stuff. But it's like they were born to do
more. There's just this chemistry between the two that is so unlike any other two actors I've ever seen on a screen. Even, I mean, really since the days of like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. I don't think that there are any two that can really compare to that level other than Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. And we can talk about characters today. I know that some people have talked about like Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, but I still don't think that that compares to a Tom and Meg movie. But anyway, we could go on forever and ever about Tom and Meg. I want to ask Jessica. Are we not going to? What?
I thought that was the plan, ladies. No. That's what I signed up for. I don't know about you.
I want to ask Jessica what her rom-com is. What's your rom-com of choice?
Look, I have to say there's my favorite one to watch ever, and then there's the close second of my favorite one to watch ever, but I would probably put it up if I had to choose my greatest one made of all time, it would be this one. And that is, of course, Sweet Home Alabama.
That's Sweet a respectable choice. I was so afraid you were going to name some Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Sorry, that's like the La La Land freaking me over here.
No, it just combines so many of my favorite things. It's a love-hate storyline. It's characters who have history together. The movie has complicated parent-child relationships. Same as what you were saying. If the guy you don't get is Greg Kinney, or if the guy you don't get is Patrick Dempsey, then you're doing pretty well.
So true.
Good point.
It was great all the way through. You obviously love the music because of the whole Sweet Home Alabama thing. Right. It was funny. I just loved all of it.
Yeah, I absolutely loved that at the end of the movie, you could have gone for either guy. Like, both. But you knew one was just like slightly better, but there was nothing wrong with Patrick Dempsey's character. Like, he was a really genuinely great guy too. And that's what really tears my heart apart at the end of the day, because I'm like, you're both so great. Can I have one of you?
That's what made it so good. So many love triangles make the mistake of having an obvious wrong choice.
Yes.
And it makes you like the girl less, because you're like, how were you ever going to go for him, you idiot? But no.
Which, like, I'll say, another one of my biggies, and it's R-rated, but I adore it, is Bridget Jones's Diary. Mm. But I think, have you seen Bridget Jones's Baby, the third one?
No, I
haven't. The Bridget Jones thing was a little before my time, so I've never gotten on board with it.
Okay. Well, in the first one, you know, the first two, actually, you have Colin Firth versus Hugh Grant, and Hugh Grant's despicable, and it's an easy choice. The third one, you still have Colin Firth, so I think it's still an easy choice, but her other guy is Patrick Dempsey, funny enough, and he's a great guy. You know,
I remember seeing the shorts and thinking that looked great.
It really is. It's, like I said, not appropriate for all audiences, but hilarious and really well written. But Yeah, no, I agree with you, though. I think you're absolutely right that too often we go for the easy love triangle. And it's like, and there is something to that sometimes. Sometimes mm-hmm. we love to know from the beginning that they're going to get together and we just have to figure out how. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, obviously, a Tom and Meg movie, same thing. Doesn't matter that Greg Kinnear's character is a really great guy. Mm-hmm. You know she's going to end up with Tom Hanks. I mean, there is. So that's great. But yeah, being able to be like, it feels more like real life as mm-hmm. far as making the choice between the good and the good instead of the good and the bad, because those aren't our usual choices in life, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I think that, I mean, the only thing in that movie that I sometimes struggle with is the part that Candace Bergen plays, which is Patrick Dempsey's mom, his character's mom,
right.
who's the mayor of New York. And she is just, yeah, I get what you were saying about, like, complicated parent relationships, and I do appreciate that, but I almost think that she was just a little overly something.
Yeah, I was actually referring to Reese Witherspoon and her mother's character.
Yeah.
I really liked that, because it really gave depth to, you understood why she left. You got, like, they're in such a mess now, and it would be easy to make Reese Witherspoon the bad guy. Like, she's left her husband. He so clearly loved her. She's left her family. She hasn't seen them for 7 years. That can paint her in a bad light. But when you see where she came from and the struggles she had in her relationship with her mother and the fact that this longing to go and do more, that came from her mother. That was her mother's dream. And she always wanted Reese Witherspoon to go and to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And in trying to give her what she needed to be able to do that, she actually drove a wedge between them, and she mm-hmm. succeeded too well, and she didn't come back. And and there was, you got why she left when you heard what went down between her and Jake. You are mm-hmm. like, look, she obviously didn't handle it the right way, but it was understandable. Mm-hmm. And she had really great reasons, and it had a lot of depth and layers. And you saw why she needed to go to New York and see the world, but then you also saw why she did love home still, and you mm-hmm. you saw the tension mm-hmm. between the two, and you really got it.
I think, and that was one of the best parts, I think, about the movie, is that she's even struggling with which world she belongs in. And she's even struggling with this, like, do I belong in this world that I've created for myself that is actually not that bad? I'm a great fashion designer, and she has great friends in New York. But at the end of the day, you know, it was, where's home for her? And that was, I think at the end of the day, it's a hard decision to make. And that was, they did such a great job of making her choose between good and good all the time.
Yeah.
And in the end, she chose best. They struck that compromise, and I think they ended up going to the place where he had the glass business, which was mm-hmm. bigger, but it was close enough to visit home, but it was close mm-hmm. enough to do her fashion stuff. Yeah. And, it was the path they should have taken back when they were younger, and it just took them a little while to get back there.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put that. Yes, exactly. I love it. Yeah.
Aww.
So what's your favorite, Hannah?
Okay. I go for this one every single time, mostly because I think it's just like my go-to. Like, if I need a classic rom-com to go to, it is always, always, always While You Were Sleeping with good old Sandy B.
Also in my top five.
Okay. Yeah. If we're, we can talk about, yes. I mean, technically it is a Christmas movie, but I watch it all year round anyway. But it is one of those movies where we talked a little bit about Nora Ephron's writing, and she does. She has a very, like, smart style of writing. But mm-hmm. as if we're talking about, like, being really quotable, While You Were Sleeping is kind of the average person's quotable movie as far as, like, a good rom-com. And Sandy B. And just, you can't go wrong with Sandra Bullock. She is, like, the best. I don't think.
Yes.
I think that I put her above Meg Ryan at this point. Even Meg Ryan in mm-hmm. You've Got Mail. Mm-hmm. It's a close battle, but barely.
I can't quite go there, but I can respect that choice. Okay. We'll agree to disagree and still be friends. That's fine.
All right. All right. I guess we'll still be friends then.
I will say Sandy has more depth in her characters. I mean, like, in a Meg Ryan rom-com, you know what you're going to get out of Meg Ryan. Mm-hmm. But I love what you get out of Meg Ryan, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know? So if I were really to delve deep and analyze it, okay, I can see your points, but I'm a little older than you guys, though. I grew up more with Meg. I'd never heard of Sandra Bullock until Love Potion number 9. You guys weren't probably born yet, so.
That's fair. I love the relationship that she has in this movie because she's basically, like, she's just lonely. She needs a family, and she sort of inherits a family by literal complete accident, and the relationship that she's building with everyone is, that's what I just love so much about it, is because it's kind of about family during Christmas time, and so it's, and being perfectly quotable, I mean, I could quote all day long, these mashed potatoes are so creamy. Which, again, if you don't understand, you need to go watch the movie because you will totally get it.
You've finished. You've got mail. Now go watch while you're sleeping. Yeah, and I mean, I'm sorry, but the leaning scene is one of the hottest scenes in any rom-com.
Oh, my gosh. I so agree. My heart goes just a little bit like
in their prime.
Every time that happens. I'm like,
which scene?
Oh, you need to go watch it again if you don't instantly know.
I think it glitched. I didn't quite hear.
Leaning scene.
Leaning.
Oh, leaning. Leaning. I thought you said weaning, and I was like, what is weaning?
You know, I had to wean off.
Leaning. The leaning scene is fantastic.
I mean, you talk about the chemistry between characters. Sorry, I'm moving on to the
Is this a deleted scene? I did not see.
Yeah, it's in the director's cut. I don't recommend it.
This is after she's announced as pregnant.
Okay.
Anyway. The leaning is so ridiculously just, my heart stops. I can't breathe for a good solid 30 seconds until, hey, is this guy bothering you?
Yeah. Yeah, when he's like, hey, it looks like he's leaning.
But then even there's the cute look on Jack's face when he turns back to her, like, see, I told you. And when they're moving the couch, I mean.
My favorite, I think, moment of all time. Okay, the leaning is, like, I think first place, but the second.
It's in a separate category.
But if I were to say, like, the second favorite moment of that entire movie is when they're trying to cross the ice.
Yes.
And they are tripping and falling all over each other, and he splits his pants and he says, you have an extra pair. And she says, if you fit into my pants, I will kill myself. And it's just, it really is one of my all-time favorite movies, hands down. I watch it multiple times a year, not just during Christmas, because it's a rom-com that needs to be watched year-round.
And I gotta tell you one more line that is so powerful to me, and that I come back to when I'm writing so often, because, like, it's like that's what I want to capture, is when she says, tell me one good reason why I shouldn't marry your brother. And he says, I can't. But it's like you see everything on his face before he says, I can't. And it's like you're with him on the entire mental journey to I can't. Brilliant.
Yes, so great. Oh, and you know what's so really funny about that scene? While I was in college, this was a staple movie while we were in college. And I remember some of the guys, the hall, technically below us, because it was the way our campus was set up, but we had separate halls. We were not co-ed in that regard. So we had some guy friends, and they were watching that movie, and we had a fight, the girls and the guys, over what that scene meant. Like, because all of the girls are screaming, just tell her you love her. And the guys are like, no, we can't do that. You're like, why not? The guys are like, because that's your brother. You don't do that. And it was a big fight for a while. There's just, you can see both sides of the story. But man, all of the girls were like, just tell her you love her, you idiot.
I know.
I'm glad you said that, because you don't think about how heavily, like, to quote How I Met Your Mother, the bro code is going to be affecting the relationship in this. Because I am always kind of like, what are you doing, mate? Like, just tell her. What are you waiting for? Your brother's an idiot, and they weren't even together anyway.
And yet, part of what we love about Jack is that he's a good enough guy to not betray his brother.
Yeah, and so that's loyalty.
Even more. But my thing more with that scene, more than tell her, because I understand why he can't. My thing is, why did she not see it?
Yes.
We can see it to his face. Why can't she tell? But I mean, of course she can't, you know, because she's wanting him to say, because I love you. And he's not going to say that, you know. No. But, oh, good movie. Oh.
I know.
It was good. I love the love of family. Like, she desperately wants a family, and she so appreciates this one she's found.
Yeah.
But also Jack, even though he might, like, slightly get frustrated with them or take them a little for granted, but for the most part, I think he really appreciates what he has as well, and treats his brother better than his brother honestly deserves. His brother's a tool.
Yes.
But it's also reconciliation. His brother was a bit, a little bit estranged from the family, and this experience really brought him back in, and, and yeah,
there's a redemptive quality to the end of it.
Yeah, very much so. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, well, we could go on talking about rom-coms for days.
At least.
Overnight, we'll just continue recording this all night long. No.
Like, on part 14 of our series on rom-coms.
Which we probably will get to at some point.
We totally could.
Bethany, tell us a little bit about where you're at, what you're up to, and where can your fans find you? Or where can new fans find you, I guess?
Well, you can find me. I'm usually on Facebook or Instagram at C. Bethany Wright, like, posting totally irreverent. Not irreverent. That's the wrong word. I'll give the wrong idea. I don't know. I'm just very me on social media. And so I may be posting my 1-star reviews and beautiful memes that I make.
Those are funny.
Like, those are great.
It's good therapy. So you can find me there. I'd love to connect with people online.
What are you up to right now?
I am currently working. Well, okay. It's a very complicated question because at this moment, nothing. I'm like in this glorious in-between, but it's about to all end. So I'm about to get edits back on my next rom-com for Revelle that comes out summer 2019.
Woohoo!
Yay!
And just earlier this week, I pitched to Revelle. I have a contract for a third book, a third rom-com, but we're still figuring out what that's going to be. And I pitched my idea this past week. So if we get to go ahead on that, also writing. So right now I am just hanging and waiting for it all to break loose and life to get crazy. But
yay.
Yeah, and Sarah will fail for a few more days. I don't know who it'll be by the time. Okay. Yes.
So Will, what's going to be in book number 2? Are you allowed to say, are we going to see Sarah come back a little bit in some way, or is it completely separate?
It's completely separate. Oh. For now, I don't think I'm done with Sarah. I know I'm not done with Piper. I like that character. She's got more story to tell, and I don't know when it'll get told, but someday. But the next book is actually about a couple named Katie and Will. And basically, they've been together a very long time with no real movement on the commitment front, although they're very committed, but he has not popped the question. Lots of consequences, I mean, situations that I can't fully divulge yet, but leads to them breaking up. And he realizes that what she wants in a romance is what's in her rom-coms and her romance movie. So
you don't want love, you want love in a movie.
That is my dedication in this book.
Is it really?
I dedicated it to Nora Ephron, and I actually, like, I need to, I will read it to you. You don't want me to, but I'm going to.
We want you to.
I should make everybody wait till the book comes out, but no, it says, to the memory of Nora Ephron, who taught me that, it actually makes me emotional, I'm so stupid, who taught me that you always need someone to kiss on New Year's, that daisies really are the friendliest flower, and that sometimes people don't really want to be in love. They just want to be in love in a movie. Mm. So I'm like, I'm telling you guys, that's how much Nora Ephron has impacted me. But that is it. That's the gist of it. And but the where it gets really fun, last little thing I'll say about it is Will is a sports guy, sports anchor. He works at an ESPN type network. And so he's surrounded by this group of professional athletes and all of this who know nothing about any of how to get this woman back, but they're on board with him to help try. Clarity ensues, hopefully. So I think it's a fun one.
That sounds so good.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Of course, we haven't begun editing, like I said, so who knows? That may not be the book that we actually end up with, but that's how it stands out today.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Bethany. We are going to sign off on this episode, because I'm sure there will be many more episodes of what your...
It has to be.
Oh, for sure. I don't even think we touched the tip of the iceberg here.
I'm like, guys, I prepared my essay on Sleepless in Seattle. When do I get to perform?
I know, I have a whole one on the proposal as well. I'm like, I haven't even gotten to it yet. Danny B, come on.
We have so much work left to do here, people. Okay, I guess we gotta go. This was so fun. I'm so glad you guys had me. And yes, anytime. I will talk rom-com with the two of you any day of the week. So you name it.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we're going to sign off. We hope you have a great week coming up, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Hey, guys, if you want to continue the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/storynerds and on Twitter at storynerds_chat.
Or you can find us individually. I am on Instagram and Facebook at Jessica Kate Writing and on Twitter at JessicaKate05.
And I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Hannah Davis Author and on Twitter at Hannah D Author. Join us next time to tune in and nerd out.
Bye.
Bye.